This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today with Marty from X Matters.
Hey, Ian. It's nice to meet you. Nice to talk with you. My role here at X Matters is work in the office of the CTO, so I do a lot of product work, marketing work. They kind of let me do a little bit of everything. It's kind of fun, the role that they have for me here. X Matters has been in the IT alerting business for about 15 years or so, with a focus on enterprises all the way across the stack, from small teams to big teams. Now, with this DevOps movement, it's been a pretty fantastic ride for us.
DevOps is becoming a big battle cry for a lot of people. The reality is many really don't understand what it means for them. They don't know how to get it set up. What are you seeing it bringing into organizations?
Well, first, we see a lot of chaos in these organizations. The difficult part they have is how do you transform from the current way of doing things, which is very heavy, a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape, a lot of process. The vision of DevOps is you take away a lot of that so that you fail small and you fail often. Sounds great on paper, you know, 1,000 flowers blooming and the whole nine yards, but really there's a lot of chaos with that. The potential is there for this to really bring speed and agility and better quality, but you've got to figure out how to get from point A to point B, especially if you've been in an organization for a long time. People can tend to get a little set in their ways as to how they do development or how they do change management or incident management, and you've got to break those cycles. So DevOps is a way to break that cycle, but you've got to really define it for your own business and then work towards that.
There are two big silos that they all struggle with to begin with. The first is the difference in processes between development and ops. The second is data. If I can start with the first one, how are you seeing people rationalize the different sets of processes that the development and operations team use so that actually they can build automation and they can smooth the path?
You have to go on a team-by-team basis. There's no silver bullet for any of this. We've seen organizations try to come down from a very top-heavy, we're doing DevOps and all teams have to go this way, which really actually breaks the value of DevOps. All the teams should be autonomous, make the best decisions for themselves. And then in an organization, you got to figure out how to make that chaos make sense so that you actually get that scale and efficiency that we're talking about. Really, you go on a team-by-team basis or a process-by-process basis, and you say, does it make sense for this to work with what you're doing? As far as the skill sets are concerned and the processes that they're used to, there has to be buy-in. There has to be buy-in from the top. Because oftentimes, and I don't blame people for this, if you know that it's been working a certain way and you're used to that, it's difficult to overcome that change. You know, there's some inertia there. So you have to make sure that what you're offering them, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel that says, this is better for me, this is better for my career, etc. So if you just come in and say, we're doing DevOps with no definition, with no guidance, and you say, you know what, you're used to never being waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're a developer. It's never happened before. Guess what? Now you're on the clock. They're not used to that. You know, operations people, which is where I came from, you know, network engineering, I had the pager, I had the cell phone, I got called at 2 o'clock, I woke up, I fixed whatever the problem was. Development's not used to that. They're used to, well, we'll just open up a bug and we'll track it and we'll get it in the next change. All that's changing. But you have to do it in a way that offers them the ability to say, you know what, my quality of life is better, without scaring them to death that you've got all this new stuff on your plate.
One of the advantages of rationalizing processes is that you can then automate. Because if you don't start to look at what you do, you don't start to simplify what you do, you can't begin to create automated processes. Because automation has to be very small chunks. You make it too complicated, there's too many points of failure. How much automation are you seeing at the moment in the cycle, and are you seeing an acceleration?
I'm seeing an acceleration. I think it's one of those things, again, where people, they dip their toe in it. We want to automate it. Some teams are better than others. Some teams are used to it. It's just part of their DNA. They want to automate as much as they can so they can focus on the really important stuff. But there's also this, do I trust that automation to work? So a lot of times we'll see the whole trust but verify process. They'll automate something, but then they'll watch it. Which kind of gets rid of the whole automation value point, but after a little bit of time, they see the value of that. But again, if it's part of your DNA, a lot of times they're like, you know, this is perfect, this is fine, this is easy. Again, I think if you make it where it's easy and it's verifiable and there's this whole compliance and audit trail that comes along with it, the security comes along with that as well. They feel confident with it. So that's why I think things are accelerating. Frankly, DevOps started as a culture movement. I came from pre-ITSM, where I could make a change in production, frankly, anytime I felt like it. If I brought down half the company, okay, right? Then they were like, you know, Marty, you really should start opening change tickets. Well, then you started having to go through change advisory boards. Then you had to go through multiple change advisory boards. And then you had to rate your change. And it was all about managing risk. We've got to lower that risk. We've got to make sure when this goes into production, nothing breaks. So then you had these six-month change cycles. And you had these humongous changes that were doomed to fail because they were so big. So now DevOps is, let's do it in smaller chunks. Again, let's fail fast, let's fail small so that we can understand what's going on, catch it earlier in the cycle, and make it better. So we've gone from this whole Wild West to heavily process a lot of documentation to, let's do it in smaller chunks, let's do it quickly, and get better at it over time.
Do you think a lot of people understand how to decompose the tasks? If we think of change management in an enterprise software environment, there are people who are still stuck with 6 month, 1 year life cycle for the next release of their software. Even around software such as SAP, very large core components, people are struggling to bring those timescales down. We are seeing some changes, but not a lot. What's the biggest challenge, do you think, for them in compressing those timescales, getting to the habit of saying, this is a small unit, we can do a small unit?
Most of these things come down to culture and tools. You've got to give your people the tools that enable them to do these things. So many times you're tasked to do something, to automate something, and given nothing to do that with. Again, there's that inertia there of you're asking me to do something that either A, I don't know how to do, I've never done before, or B, I don't have the tool set to do that. And then the other thing is, again, the culture of risk management. Change has turned away from this something we have to do, and oh my goodness, I don't want to do it, I'm going to break everything, to change is our unique differentiator. The more that we can handle change and do change means that we can do more services to the market. We can respond quicker to our customers. So change has changed from this risk heavy, you know, we're going to break stuff and I'm scared to death of it, to let's embrace it. That's what makes us different.
How much has that been driven not just by the agile movement, but actually from the business units? You know, if we go back 20 years, you and I working in large environments, business unit had almost no say whatsoever in what happened with software. They made a request and it might get satisfied. Now, IT has almost no decision-making power. What the business unit wants, the business unit gets. But they change their minds. They're like children. They change their minds every 5 minutes. What's good today has to be a different color tomorrow. Do you think that's helped drive DevOps, because it's forced a whole bunch of other things inside development to change?
I think it has. Put a slide up yesterday in a presentation, and it's a slide I could have shown 20 years ago. Business demands are ever increasing, but you got to keep quality up, you got to keep response time up, you've got to keep availability, everything. Like, we want it better, faster, cheaper, that whole story. But then I've got legacy tools and everything that have to integrate and try to make those work. It's helped force the hand of making things faster, because now the customer is closer to the software. There's no intermediary anymore. Everything's in the cloud, all your data's there. So customers are expecting Google-like responsiveness. They're not happy when they go to their app and it's down. They immediately see when the software is not working. Before, there was these layers of buffer between the customer and software. Nowadays, it's right there, and the business hears that, and the business understands, ultimately, the better we are internally at pushing new capabilities out, the healthier our organization is. Yeah, so it's taken some of the power away, I guess, from IT, but it's also made IT super important, because they're the engine that makes all these demands work.
At the beginning, you said there were two things. The second was data. One of the problems we have at the moment is data is spread everywhere. We don't know where it is. We're struggling to put it together. In fact, even from a basic analytics perspective, companies are still struggling to understand what it is that they can analyze from a business perspective. How has that impacted the way IT has worked in terms of understanding not just where its own programs are, but also where the support tickets are, where the faults are, how it understands what's coming in from the logs of different systems?
It's not only that the data is everywhere, there's so much of it. We can literally monitor everything, and you can monitor it to the nines. So now you've got data everywhere, and it's a monumental amount of data. So I think where people are trying to get smart with this is in a couple of ways, is it's targeting what you want out of that data for a specific purpose. Sure, you're collecting the data, but the alerts, the triggers, all the things that you have are for very particular use cases. It's almost like Agile for data. You're looking at very specific small things that you need, and you're trying to pull the nuggets out of that. And then when you get that data, you send it to specific points. You don't just blast it to everybody in the organization and say, I hope you can do something with this. Here's our use case. This is the data that we're going to gather. These are the metrics that we're going to alert on, and these are the people that need to see that, or the tools that need to have it. It's part of the reason why we're excited to work with Atlassian on a lot of these things, is we're very good at taking that data from various tools and sending it to the right people and to other tools so that you automate that tool chain.
If we look at first generation of DevOps, it was all about how do we align the processes, get rid of that wall between developer and operations, how do we smooth it going through. That worked for them on the data as well, because developers dealt with developer data, operations teams dealt with the data they knew. the current generation of DevOps that I'm beginning to see in the market, both as a journalist and analyst, is a whole different beast. Teams pick up this project at the conceptual stage, but they stay through it. They not only design it, they develop it, they deliver it, they manage it in operations, and then they put it to rest when it's finally done and dusted. Now that means that these are no longer teams of individuals who've got a point where they know where the wall is, where they know their boundary of their own knowledge and ability. They're having to relearn and they're having to extend their relationship with the software. How much of that is a challenge to organizations, both in terms of getting people into the right teams, getting the data and the processes aligned, but also the tooling which you talked about earlier?
It's a huge challenge. We'll take the people part of it first. People are having to learn new skill sets. We talked about that earlier. They're being challenged to do more. And a lot of organizations, again, one of the customers that we had yesterday, they've embraced it. They actually have network engineers that love to code. You can position it as you're helping your career. You're no longer just this siloed asset that can only do this one thing. You actually are valuable throughout the entire life cycle of that application. So from a people perspective, there are ways to position this. And if they embrace it, it's very good for them. If they don't, it's very difficult for them because they are going to be asked to do things that are going to stretch them. You've got to know your people. And then on the tool side of the house and on the data side of the house, it's very important that you can pick anything. You can pick any process. You can pick any. There's a million different flavors of DevOps. People say, what's DevOps? Well, how long is a piece of string? You know, it's one of those things where it could be almost any answer would be the correct one. The key is how you put these pieces together. So that you're drawing that puzzle in a way that people get it, so that everything looks and feels connected, and so that the tools actually are connected, so that your monitoring system is connected to your release management system, is connected to your service desk system, and so on, so that the collection and sharing of data is an afterthought. It's just something that should happen and does happen on its own. That's a key driver there.
That connected between those different products has always been a challenge in the industry. It's an integration point. And big vendors will integrate with other big vendors because there's money in it. When they look at smaller products, particularly the new born on the cloud products, the huge number of products coming out of startups at the moment, they don't necessarily want to do the integration. They assume the smaller product will actually integrate with them. We're starting to see some changes in that. Are you seeing a change? Are you seeing a different attitude towards the need to integrate more widely? Or is there still an undercurrent of big to big and it's your responsibility if we don't see you on our radar?
I'm sure they would love for that undercurrent to not be there, and I'm sure that the big to big would love to have it that way, but they're going to get swallowed whole by this movement if they don't make their systems open. Because the beauty of DevOps is you allow these teams to make the decisions on their tooling, etc., for the best for themselves. So if this one team likes this monitoring system versus another monitoring system, fantastic. If that's what's best for you, then you go do that. Now, of course, there's some commoditization across this, and they try to make a good enterprise decision for monitoring, etc. But ultimately, these teams expect to be able, if you're asking me to run this hard, this fast, this consistently, then you should give me the autonomy to make the decisions I need to make that happen. You shouldn't care about that. So the big to big, if they want to keep it that way, I think that's not going to last a whole lot longer.
That autonomy to buy what I want, when I want, to use what I want, becomes quite interesting. Go back to the 80s, that's exactly what was happening inside organizations when IT lost control. If we look today, we're being told we don't really need that inside an enterprise because it creates a data issue. It creates a problem of compliance, a problem of audit of data. But cloud is going to continue to disrupt all that, and people are going to want the tools that they think are cool. There's still, however, a need for those tools to play to common dashboards, for people at a higher level to actually see what's going on across the whole organization, not across small tools. APIs have become part of the play point here. How much emphasis are you seeing from customers on getting the right tools with the right APIs, or is there still a little bit of, I like that tool, I'll grab it, and then I'll worry about integration later?
One of the things that we see from a buying decision from the prospects that we have, the companies that we're working with, one of the first things they want to know is how open is your solution. And we've been in this industry for 15 years. It's interesting to see these shifts happen over time. Like you said, most of the time it was, let's buy this big platform that the promise was it was integrated. Really wasn't. They didn't really share that data as easily as they should have. You could buy a platform from one vendor, and even within their own products, they weren't integrated. So now, one of the main things we talk about is our integration builder capability, where you don't even have to be a coder to go in and connect these different solutions. Again, the customer, another one we mentioned yesterday, they've written 27 integrations into our solution themselves, outside the packaged ones that we have. So they actually expect that. We ask them, do you want them packaged? Do you not want them packaged? He's like, you know what? Some packaged ones are fine that are standard, but I've got tools we've written ourselves for monitoring. How are you going to package that? I need to see how open and flexible your product is before you can bring that product in our organization. So it's spun 180 degrees. Now it's how open is your product? What kind of API solutions do you have? How enterprise scale is it? You know, it's one thing to say we can integrate and I can take one trigger every 2 days, you know, or something ridiculous. I can take one trigger every 30 seconds. They expect a stream. They expect it to say, I won't be able to throw as much at it as I can and it not even breathe hard. And so, yeah, that's definitely the big point now that we see.
How do you leverage that work customers do? Because if we look historically about the software industry, we have big vendors, smaller vendors came along and sat in their ecosystem. And they did all this work. They wrote the integration, then they wrote little bits and pieces. And every now and again, the big vendor would turn around and eat one. If we look now, that's become a much more complex, almost a smorgasbord of things to eat at the moment. Smaller vendors are looking at customers and saying, that's a really cool integration. That's a great idea. In the same way as you're here at the Atlassian show and you're part of their marketplace, how much are you trying to talk to customers and say, okay, you've done that integration. We've got a dozen, two dozen, four dozen customers also using that same combination of tools. We haven't written it. How can we license that work with you? Or do you want to just give it away free into the community? Are you having those conversations?
We actually are having those conversations. So we have an XM Labs where people can post that. We're starting to open that up as well. Again, yesterday I saw multiple integrations that we haven't even really thought of yet because it's some weird monitoring solution maybe we've never even heard of before. And they're actually making it work without us. That's what they expect. They don't expect to have to call X Matters to say, how do I make this integration work? They want to be able to download the documentation, read it, do the integration, and make it move. It all comes back down to being open, making sure that you can share that data and move it across. Like you said, there's this whole smorgasbord of all these tools, and how do you connect them together? Again, it's got to be targeted. It's got to be smart. You got to have a plan. You can't just throw it out there and hope that it all works. There are tons of interesting things, and you wouldn't believe some of the things that we've been asked to do that we know were not good ideas, right? Like, hey, if you want to go play with that, you know, fantastic, but that's on your time. But for the most part, again, it's use case driven. And if there's pain there and you can automate it and it makes sense, do it. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Once you have a lot of customers writing their own integrations on your product, the problem is how do you support them long term? If we look again historically at software industry, it's ended up having to keep features and technologies in products because it can't force customers to move from a version they released 20 years ago to the current version. There's a paranoia point there as well for the vendor that they're going to lose a customer. But the truth is, if we look at born on the cloud companies, and Salesforce are a very good example, they're moving away from being a product to being a platform. Not only will we integrate this platform with other things, but you can then integrate into our platform. But we control this platform. We will version it when we want. We will have a limited scope here because it cuts our costs. It cuts the risk for everybody down the chain. There's no old code, in theory, that can then be hacked or taken to pieces. Are you looking at moving yourselves to becoming a platform play, or is that not yet on the cards?
Well, it depends, again, what you've defined by platform. I think for us, the big step, we're now a cloud-based company. We were an on-premise company. We moved everything to the cloud. And then the next thing is this integration builder, where that takes care of a lot of the things that you're talking about there. A lot of this comes down to what your core principles are as a company. Our core principle has been from the very beginning is that we are a conduit to other things. So we've been born from the ground up to take data from one place and move it to another, whether it's a person or a tool or a repository or whatever it is. So in a way, it's been a little bit easier for us because that's what we do. Our whole DNA is tell us what you need and we'll get it to the right person, place, or thing. That's really what we do. I've seen some companies struggle with that because they view the world a little differently. We want to be the black hole of the universe and we want to absorb all this data. People don't expect that anymore. They expect that data to be in the right place for either that tool to take it and automate the rest of the tool chain or to get it to that person so they can take action. So we don't want the data to live in us. So it's not necessarily about being a platform. It's being that hub that lots of things flow to so that it can flow to the right person, place, or wherever it needs to go.
The one thing we haven't yet talked about is the issue where does security start to play in DevOps. We've talked about the data. We've talked about the tools. We've talked about the rate of notifications. You've talked now about being a hub. All of these have an impact on security, and security has tended to sit slightly outside of a lot of IT processes. How do we engage security teams to go from DevOps to DevOpsSec? Because no matter what we write, there's always a security element. No matter what we have in operations and running in production, there's a security element that we need to be able to deal with. Can the security team become part of those new DevOps teams, or are they still going to have to sit slightly to one side, perhaps as an advisory board? Where do you see them playing out?
It's probably going to be split, and again, I hate to keep bringing up the word culture, but a lot of it depends on that. So one of the solutions that I used to manage in a previous life was automated testing for security. So you would go in, you would look for buffer overflows and all this other stuff. And what we found was that most companies did not do that, right? And you're like, wait a minute, you're releasing these applications, it's got people's data on it, and you're not doing pen testing. How's that possible? And they're like, well, it's never been a part of our quality cycle before. So one of those answers is, this is the way it's always been done, so why would we change it? For me, it's always strange to see security on the outside when it should be baked in to the inside. It should be a part of your planning, it should be a part of your testing, and it should be a part of your release. Now, whether you want to say it's an advisory board that kind of sits outside and consults, or it's a part of the actual DevOps teams, I guess it's to be determined as to what fits for your company, but absolutely it should be something that you consider from the very beginning. Because once you get to the end, it's too late. I mean, the whole point of DevOps is that you're shifting everything left so you get it earlier in the dev cycle. So if it's important for me to find a code issue, isn't it important for me to find a security issue at the very beginning? I think security is going to get even more and more heavily involved in DevOps just because it has to. It just makes sense.
Marty, thank you very much for your time.
Yep, absolutely enjoyed it.